Welcome to this week's edition of Focus Fridays, which is being brought to you by Hobrins Insurance, Home Siding, Rohde's IGA, Millersburg Electric, Pomerine Hospital, MRV Siding, and Millersburg Tire. Joining with me today, I have school board member Tina Zikafoos for WKLM's Focus Fridays. I'm Melissa Patrick. So thank you so much, Tina, for coming in today and talking about what all goes into being a school board member.
Yes, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And so let's just start at the basics. Because it's an elected position, what made you decide you wanted to do that?
Well, it's a funny story. I have never had any political goals of any kind my whole life, you know. And so there was a gentleman's group that met every morning. And at that particular time, there wasn't a woman on the board. And they felt that it would be nice to have a woman on the board. And they would like to see somebody from the Kilbuck-Glenmont area. So they started going through names, and I guess they landed on me, and that I was who they decided they would like to see run. But none of them, they knew me, but none of them knew me well enough to ask me something like this. So they contacted a friend of mine, Lou Henry Baker, and Lou Henry calls me. And so she, you know, twists my arm. She's, you know, talking about it and, oh, I could do it and what it, you know, just trying to sell me on it. So I said, well, I was flattered to start with that they would even consider me. So then I called a friend of mine that had been on the Triway school board for 16 years and asked them, you know, tell me the good and the bad. And they did. And they were spot on. So, you know, I mean, everything they said is true. And I remember it was like August. It was towards the end of August. And I thought, I'm going to throw my hat in here. It might have been before that because I know I had to have my petition in before then, but I did decide to run. And I remember they asked me, they go, do you have signs? And I said, I do. And they go, where are they? And I said, well, they're in my basement right now. And they were like, you need to get them out. And I go, well, I thought I couldn't have them out. And they go, no, there's, in some places there is a 30-day, but not around here. And they were like, you got to get your name out there. Let people know you were the first name they saw. Get them to where they know you. I mean, they just gave me such good advice. So in August of that year, and I've often thought of that, people probably, that would have maybe led me not to vote for me because I was sick of seeing my signs everywhere. But so I ran for my first term and I got it. And now I'm just finishing my 12th year and was recently reelected to another 4 years. So it'll be my fourth term.
So was it contested that first time?
Yes. Yes, it was. Back then we had an active, I believe they were the Tea Party, and they held like a forum that down at the Comfort Inn, the four of us that were running for three seats went down there and then talked a little bit and it was full. There was a lot of people there. So I was really nervous because I just didn't know what I didn't know. And I had no grudges, no bad vibes, nothing. I absolutely loved school. I was one of those kids. I loved school. And I thought everybody should. And yeah. I still do. I want everybody to love school like I did. And so I didn't have a platform of any kind. I wanted to continue on, just be a part of the West Holmes board and continue on the good work I felt they were already doing. So yeah, that we were asked questions from the crowd and I answered and I was so scared. I was so scared and nervous, but I came out and I was like, oh, well, I did it. You know, whether I got it or not, I feel like I had stretched myself. I had grown in different areas. And so it was going to be okay. And then the night of the election, people told me I should go down and I have to be at the election board so I can watch the results. Well, being naive, I didn't know any better. So my kids and grandkids came down. So we're sitting there. And I remember when I walked in, there was a gentleman from the Bargain Hunter and he said, hey, they just posted the first results. And I'm like, okay. So my husband and I walked down and I'm like, I don't even know how to read this. And so I'm looking on it, you know, and then I see my name. And I'm like, okay, here we go. So we come back. And then by the time my son and grandchildren got there, I never walked back down the hall the rest of the night because they were doing it. Every time something was posted, my son and granddaughter and husband walked down. They'd come back and they'd walk around the corner and they'd smile and give me the thumbs up. And so it was exciting. I was glad I got to do it. I was the only one there. I mean, there were trustees and there were other people, you know, sheriff's departments and people there, but I was the only candidate. But the good thing was I was really excited that I got elected and I was on the radio. First thing, the radio station was there to interview me right away.
Well, that used to be the thing. We used to, for elections, everybody was there, and really COVID changed that.
Yeah.
And nobody goes, and they fax us everything now.
They do.
And
they do.
It's a much different time.
It
than
is.
That. So how was the actual election process to run for school board? Because every elected position is a little bit different. Mm-hmm. So how many signatures did you need? What did you need for that?
I believe we have to have 30 signatures. And it's either 25 or 30, but I've always tried to get like 35 to 40. Funny story. This is the best story. So everybody I asked, my first time I ran, signed my petition, and they were good. So then I turned it in. And then later on, I had went in for something, and I asked Lisa Welsh. I said, Lisa, was everybody on that signed my petition, were they registered voters? Because they think they are. And she was like, almost everybody but one. And I was like, oh, really? She goes, yeah, your mom. I'm like, you are kidding me. So I was like, mom. So, yeah, so mom had to get registered right away, real quick. Yeah, that was always funny. But yes, so we had to get, I want to say it's 25 to 30 signatures, but I always get more than that because people that sign your petition, they really do believe they're registered. They don't realize, like my mom, that they were dropped, you know, because they had some inactivity. Yeah, so I always try to get a little cushion so that I'm going to be okay. But you have to pay, you know, to take out the petition. And then there's forms.
I think that's the same for everybody.
I think it is.
I think it's like $30.
Yeah, that sounds right. And then we have to fill out paperwork after the election, like if we accepted funds, you know, for like if we had a treasurer, like if it was a big campaign, but I've always just done my own. I mean, everything was, I just paid for it myself. And the good thing was I bought signs my first time. I bought 100 signs and had them out. And then the second time I was able to buy like a stencil that said reelect. So, and those, I've used them every time. So that was a good investment for me, was to buy those signs. I didn't have to buy new signs every year or anything like that. And, but you know, it's funny because, you know, I don't know, people don't like you or they just get destroyed. But I started 12 years ago with 100 signs and I only have 69 now. I'm missing 31 somewhere. But you know,
the wind.
But you know, and it's Halloween. I mean, it is. It's Halloween time, so it's okay. But I think the first year I only lost 4. But you know, every time you'd lose a little more, and it does depend if you're putting them in intersections. If
you don't know.
And two, like this time, I was later getting them out this year because the ground was like rock solid. I had to wait for it to rain to be able to push them down. Those they're not like heavy duty.
Not
you know,
at all.
Yeah, they're kind of flimsy. So you want to get them down good or a big semi going by can blow it away, you know.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Well, we'll learn more about what it is a school board member does as we head into our next segment with Tina Zikafoos, West Holmes School Board member. I'm Melissa Patrick for WKLM. Stepping back in here with West Holmes School Board member Tina Zikafoos. I'm Melissa Patrick for WKLM. And we talked about how you got into the position in the last segment, Tina. What is it, in a nutshell, to start out, that a school board member does? What would be the job description on that?
Basically, our job is to hire the superintendent and treasurer. Those are the only two people that report to the board, and then policy and procedure. So that's it. I know a lot of people have called the central office thinking I have an office there, thinking that when you're a school board member that you're an employee, but you're not. Most of us all have full-time jobs or we're retired from a full-time job. And again, I had to learn all this. I didn't know what a school board member did as well. But it's, in a nutshell, it's developing policy and procedures for the school and you know, the superintendent and the treasurer, their positions, because those are key positions. I know a lot of people think that we're administration, that we're the principal or we're the, you know, that we have some type of governance over, which we don't. I mean, that doesn't mean that people can't tell me if they have a concern about something and I can't redirect them. But as far as like if someone's upset with their teacher, you know, our first question is, you know, did you talk with the teacher? And if they can't for whatever reason, they need to talk to the principal. And if nothing gets resolved there, then the next chain of command is the superintendent. And then the superintendent will get involved. And then, but I know people, because we live here and everybody knows this, so they'll automatically come to a board member and say, hey, I've got this going on. And, you know, my role is to not only, you know, stay with them, but to hand it off to who it needs to be as far as administration goes.
And make sure it's followed through.
Excellent. You know, anything else, we're undermining their authority. You know, as a board, we're a governing board. We're not in the day-to-day activities of running the school. That's the superintendent, that's the administration team, the principals, all of those. That's their role. We are to support them and to help if we need to step in. I mean, you know, if someone has went through all the and they're still not happy. But I think sometimes people, it's just because they know me, you know, or they know one of the other board members, that they feel comfortable saying something to them and say, and I a lot of times I'll go, I don't know if anybody's mentioned this or not, but this is something. And I'm like, I am more than willing. I want to hear what's going on. I really do. But I also know I need to redirect them and then follow up with the superintendent or the principal, whoever it was. How did that end up? You know, I want to stay connected. I don't want to just hand them off and not stay involved.
And because you've got to go through the chain of command.
You
That's
do.
How you keep order.
You do. That's exactly right. And it was funny because I learned this through Bill Sterling, who was the superintendent for 5 or 6 years with us. So one February, when I was brand new, I had already completed 1 year, so I was going into my second year. In the month of February, I got 17 either calls, text messages, or emails.
Ooh.
And they weren't all about the same thing. They were just a multitude of things. So
I
have them all written down. I go into my board meeting, and I remember Bill going, answering, and he goes, Tina, you just send them to me. Send them to me. That's my job. That's what I'm supposed to do. And I go, well, I know that, but I kind of want to know the answer myself. If I have the answer, I don't have to bother you because you have enough on your plate. But he kept saying, nope, you just redirect them to me. That's my job. And he never told me, you're undermining me. But it took me a while to realize, well, that's in essence what I was doing. You know, the superintendent, that's their role. And I'm there to support them and to help them in any way I can. And it's a team effort. Everybody works together.
So that's a nice little nutshell kind of thing. And so what are some of the things you have board meetings that you guys attend each month?
Every month.
What are some of the other things do you do as a board member?
So we have committees. So then everybody, there's two of us to a committee, and I believe there's five committees. So we have this curriculum, transportation, buildings and grounds, which is a big one right now, the finance. The other one is like extracurricular. So those are a board member that might go to the music boosters or the athletic boosters. Those are the extracurricular that they go to them. So that we all, at the beginning of every January, when we do our organizational change. And some of us, like I'm telling you, I don't know anything about buildings and grounds. That is not a good fit for me, you know, but I love the transportation. I'm learning about it. And I love learning about the different things. But I feel when it gets to some of these committees and finance, I was a banker for 28 years. I feel like I can do that one. I can hang with that one. But, you know, if it gets to building and grounds, that's just not, I don't know enough. There's more qualified board members that should be on that.
So do they change every year if you have the same board members, or can it stay?
It can stay the same, right. You know, like we do a rotation as far as vice president and president every year. Since I've been on the board, that's kind of been what they do. We all do a rotation. And part of that, everybody gets the opportunity to step into that position. And it's good. I mean, it's a growth. It's growth for each of us. Also, and then, like you say, then the committees can change. I was at the Ohio School Board Conference 1 year, and this elderly lady, older than me, stood up and said she's been their board president for 27 years. And I was like, what? Who does that? You know, but evidently they had enough. She wanted it, and they had enough that she must have done a good job that the rest of the board just said, you know what? She's doing a great job. And if she's willing to take it on, yeah. You know, because they, like I say, they might have full-time jobs, and she was retired, obviously, and had the time. So, but at West Holmes, we've always rotated.
Now, what does being president extra, does that give you?
A lot of signatures. Oh my goodness. Every contract, every supplemental contract requires a signature. Just any contract. I mean, whether it's with vendors, you know, the board president has to sign off on those. And there is another level of responsibility. But again, you're one person. You're a board of five. You're one person. One person really doesn't have any more power than any of the other four. It's a title, and you have a few more things to do, but in the big picture, you don't have any more clout than anybody else.
You just have to lead the meetings.
You have to lead the meetings, and that can be tough for me. I get nervous. Even after these years, you know, you still get nervous, but at least I do.
All right. Well, we'll learn more about what you do in the time that you've been a board member, because you do a lot of above and beyond. And that'll be in our next segment. That's Tina Zikavus, West Holmes School Board Member. I'm Melissa Patrick for WKLM. Coming back here with West Holmes School Board Member Tina Zikavus. I'm Melissa Patrick for WKLM. And I guess I've been introducing you as West Holmes School Board Member, but you are a double school board member in reality.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, I serve on the Heartland Technical Education Center.
Formerly known as Ashland West Holmes Career
Center.
Yes,
it was. And it's funny that we changed the name in July of this year, July 1st. So it's going to take people a while to get used to it.
It's like Prince.
Yeah. We're Heartland Tech. And there was just so, Ashland County West Holmes Career Center, or Joint Vocational School as it was when I was, they wanted to get away because my generation still calls it the Joint, and
that's
they didn't, you know,
it.
And then it went to JVS, and then it went to Career Center. But when we're out somewhere and they'll say, well, where are you located? We're the Ashland County West Holmes Career Center. It's a mouthful and nobody's heard of us. But if you say, well, we're Heartland Tech, I really like it. I think it's a strong, you know, name. And I don't feel, we labored over this for probably a year and a half.
At least.
Thank you. Yeah, you were part of there. I mean, it was a long process to get. So we have 8 board members over there. And so, like I say, and to get 8 people to agree on something, you know, this is hard. It is not an easy process to even consider changing a name. I mean, there's a lot of emotions, heartfelt emotions. You know, my husband and my son went to the Ashland County Career Center. They felt that, I asked them both what they felt, and they said, I like it. Leave it the same. Don't mess with it. You know, so there is that group.
There was quite
you know,
a bit of that.
There was. And
there
so,
still is.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, to change the name, though, was, I think it fits. And it's going forward. We're looking at our vision, you know, at our going forward. The Career Center, when I went, I've been on the Career Center 7 years as the West Holmes representative. And when I first went on there, our first year, we had like 256 students, 273, somewhere around in that area. This last year, now we have 523, I believe what it is. So it is like doubled. I'm really excited to see Career Tech take off. I think there's a lot of, in the media and a lot of other outlets, they're showing the benefit of going to a trade school. Not everybody is going to go to college. And so why not learn a trade? And you know, when you get out, you're better prepared for a job. And we just have some really outstanding programs over there.
And you're going through a building renovation over there, too.
Goodness,
you can't get away
from
it.
Yeah, COVID kind of forced it. Well, we were going to do it. I think we started in 2017. We started with the building project. It was there again. It's been it's 8 years. Here we are.
But you guys went the OFCC route.
We
so
did.
Added length to the Ohio
Facilities Commission. Yes, we went with them, and it's been a long process as well. West Holmes has been a much easier process than the Career Center ever was, and they are hoping here in January they're going to be opening some of it up, and the kids will be now going over there. And we had bought the county commissioner's offices that are adjacent, right across the way from us, and that's where the kids have been having their instruction, you know, for the last 2 years. So I'm excited to be able to get them into the new building. So in January, some of them are going in, which is exciting. And then the hope is, obviously, we'd like to have the rest of them in by August. They're saying they can't promise August, maybe October, but it'll be this year yet, or 2026 yet, that we'll have them in. And then the remaining money that we ask for this building project is going to be into the renovation of the county commissioner's old building where we're at right now, because that's where the superintendent, treasurer, the board office will be, as well as all adult education classes. So I'm looking forward to that too. I'm glad. For so long, adult education was just night school. You go to night school. That's how you do it. And now we live in a different time, that there are people that want to come during the day, but we can't have them on the same campus with, you know, our high school students. So that we're going to have a different facility that we can offer daytime classes. I mean, I feel it's going to be good for those wanting to further their education.
Now, is your role as a board member similar over there as it is West Holmes?
Yes. Yeah, there's different committees over there. Not as many. Which is, you know, they're a vocational school, so they don't have extracurricular. You know, we do. There is a building and grounds, and again, two people on that are well versed in that. That's their professions. I am on the policy and procedure committee over there, so I work with them. But yeah, there's not as many committees to work with over there is what at West Holmes.
But you're that West Holmes representative mm-hmm. on the board, and each of the schools there are represented, so that way every school gets its fair say.
Yes, they do. They do. I mean, everybody, and they're a good group to work with. They really are. Everybody's nice, and we're all in the same boat, you know? We pretty much have the same difficulties, I mean, with students, with transportation, you know, getting bus drivers. I mean, so, you know, and so when somebody has a new idea, yeah, by golly, we're all wanting to hear about it and see if it won't work in our district.
And there's more that you do, and we're going to learn more about that in the next segment. That is Tina Zikafoos. She is a school board member. We'll put it like that so we don't leave anything out. School board member Tina Zikafoos. I'm Melissa Patrick for WKLM. As we return here with school board member Tina Zikafoos, I'm Melissa Patrick with WKLM. We've talked about you being on the West Holmes board. We've talked mm-hmm. about you being on the Heartland Tech board. And there's still more that you do that any board member could do. Mm-hmm. You just are one of the only ones in our county who has chose to do it because you represent the whole county, both east and west, and that's the Ohio School Board Association.
Correct. Yes, I am on the Northeast Region Executive Committee for the Ohio School Board Association. Yes, I am.
And so what does that kind of entail?
It's kind of meetings. We give out awards. We have a scholarship, a book scholarship fund. We do give awards. Like I know in previously, Jamie Mullett has won the Treasure Award for the Northeast Region. Jamie Shenevy has won the Vocational Award for the Northeast Region. You know, so it's the award. They have a Teacher of the Year. So once I got involved, I didn't even know any of this existed. So once I thought, so that's why, you know, you start nominating and trying to get more involved. We have media awards. We have business awards that we try to recognize local businesses and media, you know, and thank them for what they do for the school district. We have meetings like at Capital Conference. So we meet every 2 to 3 months. We have a meeting and they're usually held north, you know, so it's usually anywhere from an hour to an hour and a half to 2 hours if I attend one of their meetings. So we're lucky to have Zoom so I can actually zoom in on a lot of the meetings. We have a spring and fall banquet that's where we get to recognize Purple Heart schools. And like I say, the various awards, but there's also, they recognize board members for different things. They have what's called the STAR Awards. STAR, the S is for service, the T is for training, A is for aptitude, and R is for recognition. So you have to get all four of those to obtain the Master Board Member Award. And I just received that this last spring from the OSBA. It's a 3-year process. It was not easy, but you know, obviously, anybody can do it if I can do it, but I don't mean it to sound, but it was just extra. It was extra when you're already limited for time. But the STAR, the Service Award, is that you're attending events put on by the whole school. You're continuing your education. You're taking classes. You're trying to be a better board member. And I've always felt that, you know, the very first, I took a OSBA class before I even got elected because they had one for people thinking about running for board member. So I took that one. Then there's one for newly elected board members. I took that one. And then I took a little bit of a year break. And then I started, you know, they came to us and did a couple presentations for our board trainings for us. But I continue, I'm always looking for something. And they offer a lot of free things. And again, it's a network because in my region that I'm in, there's 19 counties. So, you know, it's a network of people. And so we're in with Cleveland and Akron and Canton, some of the bigger school districts and stuff. But we all have the same goal. You know, we want to see our kids succeed and excel. And we have different dynamics, but it's a really good group to be a part of. So the services, you know, attending and these, the T stands for training. So that's that you're continuing your education. You're going to keep learning. A is aptitude. You have to take an online test to see if your knowledge as a board member. And then the R for recognition, your board has to, at a public meeting, recognize you as an outstanding board member. So I got all of that done in 2024, and then in 2025 of the spring, I received my Master Board Member Award. So, yeah.
And that's not something that everybody gets.
No, no. Last year in the state of Ohio, they said there's like 35 to 3,600 board members. 17 of us got it. And so I was one of 17 this year. Yeah, in 2025 that did receive it. So, yeah, I'm pretty proud of it because I had to work for it. You know, it wasn't given to me.
Exactly. But it's a great way to get training mm-hmm. and more networking to really be a better yes. board member.
And that's what I always felt like I kind of owed it to the people that voted for me, that showed faith in me and elected me, that I wanted to be the best board member I could be. And you do that through training. I mean, you do the extra, you go the extra mile. And I've done that since the first day I was elected 12 years ago. So,
and you are the only representative from Holmes County yes. on mm-hmm. that OSBA board.
Right. Right. Yeah, we only have the two schools here in the county. And Reno Conopelli, who is our director for the Northeast region, you know, his goal was in these 19 counties to have every county represented. And so when I met him probably, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, he was like, oh, you really need to be a part of this. And I was at actually a board leadership training was where I was when I met him. And he's like, oh, I've wanted somebody from Holmes County for so long. So it took me about a year to finally decide that, yeah, you know, maybe I should do this. So I've represented the county ever since.
Like you said, there's 19 counties in that. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of network availability.
It is, yeah. Some really great people. Like I say, it's nice to be with like-minded people. We all have the same goal. We all want our kids to succeed. We want good, healthy environments for our kids. You know, everybody's got the same goal, so it's nice.
That's just another check on the box there for things you can do as mm-hmm. a school board member that you've chosen to do.
Right. Now, what I would like to do, my next step would be to be on a state committee, to be involved more with the state, but I just can't do it right now. I don't have the time, you know. I'm still working full time.
It would add another ribbon to your name tag.
Yeah. Yeah, the old ribbons.
All right. Well, we've got more to talk about with Tina. It's Tina Zikafu. She's a board member here in Holmes County for WKLM. I'm Melissa Patrick. We're getting back here with Tina Zikafu, who is a school board member here in Holmes County. And we've been learning about all the different opportunities that a board member can do, not just for their home school, but with their career center, with the OSBA. And so we've really taken a journey on all the options for a board member.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep.
And one of the things that we haven't discussed that I don't really know if it's ever publicized or talked about or anything is pay mm-hmm. when you're a board member. A lot of times your local level elected officials are not highly paid. Council is a very low paying job. The mayor, depending on if it's considered full time or part time, is a low paying job. So as a school board member, what are you guys looking at?
So we are paid $125 a month, regardless of how many meetings we have. So if we have one meeting, it's $125 a month. If our committees meet that month, that's two more meetings. If we have to call an executive meeting for anything, it's a flat fee of $125 a month. Ohio is considered a volunteer state. So you have to be able to, you know, you're doing this not for the money, obviously. You're doing it because you have a heart to serve. And so they feel like that, they feel they'll get good board members this way, you know, not somebody chasing a buck. I did know in Arizona, they make $40,000 a year. Yeah, they're well paid. So there's a little more incentive if somebody wants to run for a school board member there. But
that could also be bad, too.
It can be. And I feel like it's good that Ohio has this because I feel like, yeah, we're not doing it for the money. We're doing it because we love the kids. We love our schools. We're the communities we live in. But yeah, so no matter how many meetings we have, it's a flat fee of $125 a month.
I think a lot of people have this misconception that because you see on the federal level mm-hmm. Higher paid positions and you get paid even once you retire, but on the local level, that's not how that works.
No, not at all. And when I decided to be a board member, I didn't even know we got paid. And because I've always been a volunteer, I love volunteering, you know, and I've said this repeatedly, you know, I am not wealthy, but I had time and my time was of value. And every organization I've ever been with, I was glad to give my time for. I hope if I'm always remembered that I had a servant's heart, that I wanted to serve, and it wasn't about the money. So when I decided to run for board, I remember they're saying, now, we need you to fill out this paperwork so you can get paid. And I remember my shock, like, I'm getting paid for this? You know, really? I didn't even know I was going to get paid. So it is $125 a month, though. So, yeah, that's what everybody in the state of Ohio, that's what the board members get.
And so it's enough to get you the gas to go yes. to and from your meetings. Mm-hmm. And that's about.
Yes. Again, we do it because we're serving our community.
And that's really the heart of it all mm-hmm. for a lot of elected officials on that local level.
Right.
Because you are right there in the trenches mm-hmm. with your committee. I always said it's got to be hard at state and federal level because you're not there. Mm-hmm. You're in Columbus. You're in D.C. But you guys are right here. So if you're making decisions people don't like, mm-hmm. you're right there.
Yeah.
If you know there's yep. something going on, you're right there. You see them at the store mm-hmm. and you have to stand by your decisions.
Right. And I'm always appreciative when people reach out to me and want to have a conversation and want to talk about a decision that was made, because these decisions aren't made lightly. There's a lot of time and effort that go into it to get the consensus that this is the right thing we need to be doing for the kids and for our district at this time. So when someone reaches out to me and has a question about something, I'm very grateful, versus the ones that just want to complain on social media where I'm not going to respond, because I did that once many years ago. I made the mistake. Somebody was complaining about the school and they tagged me in it. So I had the answer. I was like kind of excited I had the answer. So I went out and answered it. They came right back slamming something else. And I knew in that instant, they don't want an answer. They want to argue. So my policy is I'm not going to engage on social media when people start bashing the school or decisions made by the school. Reach out to me. My number's there. I work. I'm approachable. I feel like I'm approachable, you know, and it's like, please reach out. I'm glad to have that any of us are glad to have the conversation. But if you're going to attack us on social media, instead of just asking us, you know, how did you get to that decision? You know, you're not going to get a response.
And you guys have had some big decisions
yeah,
since you've been on the board.
We have. And they're painful. And it's just like anything, you know, like I always tell with this new, I'm excited. I'm so excited with this new building, Kilbuck. So I love Kilbuck. My grandmother went there. My parents went there. My brother and I went there. My children went there. And now I have two grandchildren there. There is nobody any more sentimental about that building than I am. So I absolutely understand when people, they love their school. They love their school. And I'm so glad, because I do too. But I have to be able to put, it's head over heart, you know. Okay, I know the decision that needs to be made. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It's still going to be painful. But what, throwing a net out and for the future, what is in the best interest of the kids? Where are they going to be able to learn and grow and blossom? That's my goal for them.
And so we are going to have one last time with Tina here to learn a little bit more about being a school board member. That's Tina Zikafoos, a school board member here in Holmes County. I'm Melissa Patrick for WKLM's Focus Fridays. One last time here with Tina Zikafoos, a school board member. She's on the West Holmes School Board, the Heartland Tech, and a member of the OSBA. I'm Melissa Patrick for WKLM. And we've talked all about what goes into being a school board member and different committees and groups and everything that you're involved in. And in that last segment, we really talked about serving because you care mm-hmm. and being on it because it's not about the money. And
correct.
You have a stat that you like sharing mm-hmm. when it comes to school board members that really says a lot.
Yeah, I feel like what was told was, so we have between 3,500-3,600 school board members in the state of Ohio. So the stat shows that if you run for school board after your first term, 50% of those will either choose not to run again or will not be reelected. And that's huge. So look at the turnover of school board members in these districts, you know. And I know people say, well, change is good. And it is. I'm the first to say it is good. It's hard, but it's good. But 50%, that is huge. And I feel like some of them, what has surmised probably has happened is some of them got elected on an agenda. They had one thing, so they had all these supporters. And then when you get on the board, you find out real quickly you're one of five and you're a team and you have to work together. And doesn't mean do we agree? Oh my goodness, no, we don't always agree. But you know, we're all adults, we're professionals, you talk through it. What is in keeping the forefront? What is in the best interest of the children, honestly? And so once they get on there, they find that, well, You know, they didn't get to push their agenda. So they either choose not to run or they don't get reelected because they showed their true colors, you know, in that term. So it's very disheartening to me because especially, you know, we had Eric Strauss, who was a board member for 25 years. I mean, I think that's how it was for many, many years. People got elected to the board and they liked it and they continued on because they wanted to see the district succeed. They wanted to see all the good things that, you know, that they've worked for come to pass. And now it's people are busy and they don't know that they want to make that commitment even for 4 years. And then after 4 years, it's like, oh, golly, do I want to do this again? And me, the first time, you know, after I ran my first term, I felt like I owed it to the voters to, I had to run a second time because now I was a better board member. I had 4 years under my belt that I knew what I was doing a little more and continued to educate myself. But yeah, board members don't stay on like they used to. Yes, like they used to.
And there's a lot of change nationally even.
Oh, it is.
It's not just the state of
Ohio. It's not Ohio. It's nationwide. You're correct.
Because the state of what people want to do for schooling is changing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot more homeschooling.
There is. Ed Choice, you know, the vouchers. I mean, yes. So people have options.
And people are having less kids.
True. Yes.
That completely changes the whole dynamic of the district.
Yes, it does. When I went on 12 years ago, we had 2,800 kids in the district, and now we're at 1,800. And when I tell people that, their eyes get huge, and they're like, what happened? And I'm like, people just aren't having children like they used to. They're not having 4 and 5 and 6 kids. Also, they have a choice. You know, they can do online. They can do private school. They can do homeschool. So people have choices. I still maintain that public school is the best choice. That is going to be what propels you as an adult. It prepares you. It just prepares you.
I don't know. Sometimes I don't think anything can prepare you to be an adult.
But I am a pro public school, and I know, and people have their own personal choices, and that's wonderful. I mean, I'm glad we have that choice, but I still feel, just my personal opinion, that public school is the best route.
And there's, of course, a lot of other factors that mm-hmm. range into that, and you know, that could be part of the reason why people, you know, their kids are done being in school, their grandkids are done being in school. And so that you could see a lot of change mm-hmm. with that too, but it definitely brings a new dynamic on how you guys make decisions.
It does. And you know, when Eric Jerkovic came on, one of the first things of order was to do a strategic plan. And I was so excited because every time I would attend an Ohio School Board Association meeting, they would be like, well, what's your strategic plan? And I'm like, we don't have one. And so Eric, that was like his first out of the gate was, you know, let's get a strategic plan. And I'm like, hooray, because it's our roadmap. I mean, how do we know where we're going if we don't have that map to get there? You know, you're just kind of willy-nilly. And I need that. I needed that roadmap to be able to get us where we're going, to know where we're going, and always keeping our priorities right.
And as we wrap this up, do you have any last thoughts you want to share about being a school board member, encouraging others to do it? Well, any last thoughts?
Oh, definitely encourage people to do it, especially, you know, I ran into an 18-year-old at the Ohio School Board Association that was just elected to his first term, because I'm thinking, what's a student doing here? You know, because it's all we're older, you know. And it's like, and so I went over, and he was in a suit. He was dressed to the nines. He looked so great. So I walked over and I said, well, you know, hey, bud. I said, so what district are you with? And he told me, and I said, are you here for, and he goes, oh no, I'm a board member. I just got elected to the board. And I remember, I'm sure he saw the surprise and the joy in my face. And it was like, good on you, young man. Good on you. Because it is a commitment. It truly is. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It is a commitment. And there is good, but there is also bad. You know, the public doesn't like your decisions. So they're going to, you know, say things that maybe aren't particularly true or nice. And, you know, you got to be able to take it on the chin. It has to help me develop a thick skin. I will say that. I don't know that it was necessary, but it did. But I would never discourage somebody for running. I mean, make a difference. That's my whole thing. I just wanted to make a difference. And in a venue that I absolutely loved as a child, I just wish everybody had the same experience I had.
Well, thank you so much for sharing and kind of teaching us what a board member does.
Well, thank you for having me. It was my pleasure.
That was school board member Tina Zickafoos for WKLM's Focus Fridays. I'm Melissa Patrick. Focus Fridays has been brought to you by Hobbins Insurance, Home Siding, Rhodey's IGA, Millersburg Electric, Pomerine Hospital, MRV Siding, and Millersburg Tire. Make sure to check out Focus Fridays each Friday in the 9 a.m. hour. If you happen to miss an episode of Focus Fridays, you can go to our website, WKLMFM.com, and click on the Focus Fridays icon and choose the episode that you missed. In our next edition of Focus Fridays, we focus in on the Holmes County Chamber and Tourism Bureau Director, Tiffany Gerber. It's all here on your hometown radio, 95.3 WKLM.